Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580. Mr. Dennis Prout of Prout Financial Design. CFP is AWOL today, AWOL. Joining us today in the studio, though, Heidi Cartwright from Prout Financial Design. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron. It's good to be here.
And Shea Pataja, also from Prout Financial Design. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. The Finn that sounds Italian.
Finn. Yeah, there we
yes.
go.
We are really excited to be here today. Of course, Thursdays are our favorite day because we get to be with Ron Jale.
Yeah.
Today we're talking about your nest egg, your retirement nest egg. And so what we talked about over the years is that when it comes to retiring, you're not getting just one. You go from getting one paycheck from your employer, but you could be getting several paychecks that you write for yourself,
exactly,
depending on what you've accumulated for your retirement. And that is obviously very basic. We all know this information, but it gets complicated, or it can get complicated, because there's different rules for distribution out of those accounts. So if you have an IRA, a 401k, SEP, simple Roth, 403b, 457s, on and on the list goes.
Yep.
And then you're going to add Social Security. So when you retire, you've got to figure out that nest egg. I called it cracking the egg. I was trying to be clever. I'm not sure it really works. But how this can all get derailed is the tax planning portion of it.
That is so true.
Did
so
I get
true.
This right, Heidi?
It is. You are right, because taxes can sort of be a big strategic problem when you're trying to draw out money from these different types of plans and different types of accounts. So you just want to make sure you're thinking about it and be purposeful about it. Just because this might be one of the largest assets you have, a 401k or an IRA, and pulling money out if it's taxable can be tricky because the law is always changing as well. So just when you think you understand what's going on, they can change the rules on you.
So today we're going to focus primarily on the 401k, and I found an interesting stat on that. The 401k is one of the best available retirement saving options for many people, but just 41% of workers contribute to one, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. That is a staggering number given the number of employees who have access to the plan, which is 68% of Americans. Still 41% contributing. When it comes to retirement planning, 401ks are a big discussion for you guys as to how to handle them and what to do. And we found a really great article from Wall Street Journal called The New Tax Playbook for Draining Your 401k in Retirement. I would like to replace the word draining to spending.
Yeah, that's not very a happy word.
Correct. So what is this article about, Heidi?
Well, the article talks about some proposed changes in the tax law that may be coming up and how these changes could affect your 401k, how you take money out of the 401k, because rules, when they change the rules, sometimes it's not just the one rule for that one account, but it can have a rippling or domino effect on other decisions. So they just talk about the complexity of that.
Okay. So let's go to the
I was going to say, I'm surprised. 41%, you said, of people that are contributing to a 401k. Mm-hmm. But with the labor shortage, I was just reading Starbucks, for instance, have a 401k plan that they contribute to. I think they as a match. Mm-hmm. And more companies that traditionally didn't offer that are now. So maybe that stat will go up.
I hope so. And I really like the idea of some companies are doing the auto enroll and you have to opt out of it.
Right.
I think that's a clever idea, because if you just get people used to that, it's a habit. It's a nice habit to
right.
have.
Right. And I really hate to see people who have that opportunity, especially if there's a match involved where you can double your money. Just you put in a dollar, your employer puts in a dollar. I mean, it's a great opportunity. And sometimes, you know, we're so focused on what's happening now and tomorrow, we're not thinking 10, 20 years out. But that's when it's the most powerful. The farther it is out, putting those dollars in today can really be powerful for your future situation.
Time is your greatest asset, I would think. All right, so I want to go back to the 401k basics. Okay, Heidi, this is for Shay, and I'm assuming some of the listeners as well. All right, when you retire, should you roll over your 401k or just leave it alone?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm sure everybody will be happy to know that the answer is it depends.
May I interrupt? What do you mean by roll over? When you retire, what's that mean?
Rollover is when you take money from an employer plan, like a 401k, and you move it to an individual retirement account that's under your direction or control. So you're moving it out of the company's plan, and that can be a non-taxable transaction if you do a trustee-to-trustee transfer. So that's what when we say rollover, we're looking at the money coming from an employer plan and going to an IRA or a Roth account.
All right. So why would someone do that?
Yeah. Well, that answer is it depends on your personal situation. Sometimes you may want to keep money in your employer plan, but I'd say the most common or the most general rule that people do, they roll things over to an IRA. So they'll have something in an employer plan, and once they retire or they separate from service, they roll that over to an IRA. There are many benefits to that, but it all goes back to your personal situation. Because there's these little nuances, like you indicated, between the different plans, you know, you may have a unique situation where it may be better to stay in the plan. So you want to talk to a financial advisor or some kind of CPA to get a good idea. Is it best for you to stay or to roll over?
Well, and when we were talking before the show, you were giving some of the benefits of rolling it over. So can we go over a few of those, the benefits?
Sure. A benefit could be seen when you're in an employer plan. You know, they give you the list of the investments and you choose which ones you want your money to go into. Well, when you roll out to an individual IRA, you have a full range. You can buy stock, you can buy bonds, you can buy other types of assets that maybe aren't on the list in your employer plan. Another benefit is if you are if you're retired and you're not an active participant and you're pulling money out of the plan, they have a 20% withholding. They're going to withhold 20% of that distribution for taxes, send it to the IRS, and then you get the rest of that distribution. When you have an IRA, you get to decide. You get to decide if you want any tax withholding at all, or if you want 10, 15, 20, it's more up to you. So that control piece is really one of the central reasons why people may want to go over to an IRA.
Interesting. And then I learned something new when we were talking. If you have within your 401k, you can have a traditional 401k or you can have a Roth 401k. And if you roll them over to an IRA, their traditional can roll over to a 401k, can roll over to a traditional IRA.
Correct.
And a traditional Roth 401k can only go to a Roth IRA. You can't like mix and match. It's got to be...
Well, you don't want to mix and match because of that Roth contribution that you've made into the 401k. You've already paid taxes on that. So when it comes out eventually, it's not a taxable event for you versus your traditional model where it's pre-tax contributions. So when it comes out, it gets taxed as income. So that Roth money, I always think of it as, oh, it's very valuable because it has that tax exempt status. So you don't want to commingle those funds. You want to make sure that the Roth money goes to a Roth and your traditional money goes to a traditional IRA.
We've also mentioned that a lot of people don't even know that there's a 401k Roth option, that they need to talk to whoever manages that within the office, because they don't even know to ask.
And that's a great idea because, you know, some plans added the Roth option later. Like, you might have signed up a couple decades ago and you're working along and you're putting money into your 401k. Maybe they added that Roth in one of those notices that they send you that I'm sure everybody reads. But, you know, it doesn't hurt. Not every plan offers that Roth option, but if they do, you know, that can be a great way for you to start accumulating some money in that tax-exempt bucket.
All right. Well, we've covered the basics of the 401k, I think, for the most part. And it is helpful if you go talk to your financial advisor if you need one. I know of a couple.
you do.
That can help you navigate these decisions. But let's go into what's going the Wall Street Journal article. So what we say in our billboards right now, retirement is a tax game. And they dive into that pretty detailed in the Wall Street Journal article. Do you want to go through that now or do you want to take a break, Heidi?
Why don't we take a break and we'll come back and then we'll jump in.
You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner, Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout out today. Prout is out today. We have Heidi Cartwright in, financial advisor. I'm going to write all this down so I don't have to go through this again. And
I'm a financial advisor, and the designation I have is RICP, which is RICP. The Retirement Income Certified Professional.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Shea Pataja, the Chief Experience Officer, discussing 401ks.
Yes, so I have a Shea stat for you to lead us into the Wall Street Journal article. The House of Representatives passed H.R. number 2954 on March 29th of 2020, securing a strong...
2022.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
2022.
Securing a strong retirement act. Man, they're really good at marketing and branding, by the way.
I just
want to put that in there. Now sending the bill to the Senate. The legislation designed to overhaul the current pre-tax retirement system in the U.S. includes an expansion of auto enrollment in retirement plans, an increase in the age at which individuals must begin required minimum distributions, RMDs, from age 72 to age 75, and improving the access to employer-sponsored plans to part-time workers. Take it from here, Heidi.
Okay. So, yeah, this is exactly what this article was talking about, and it's what caught my eye, because putting money into your 401k can be relatively simple. You know, it comes out of your paycheck. Somebody puts it in there. It works every time.
You check on it once a year. Yeah.
Yep. But taking money out often requires an exit strategy. How am I going to get the money out? Goes back to what we were discussing earlier. How's that going to affect my taxes? Those sort of things. So the article looks at that because tax breaks that are available in the retirement accounts where, you know, you put the money in, you're not paying taxes every year on what that money makes. At some point, you have to start taking that money out. And if you don't, if you have other sources of income or stuff and you don't need to touch it, there is this rule, this required minimum distribution, that at that age, at 72 right now, you have to start taking some of that money out. So, and how you're going to do that. So back in 2019, we passed the Secure Act, and that's when we went from the age 70 and a half to 72. So now they're talking about changing it to 75.
Just when Ron got his way, and it wasn't and a half, it was easily
right.
72. Now
right.
They're going to go to 75.
Be 75 in 3 months.
I know, just to make it easy to remember, right? It's just when you get used to a certain rule, or you're like, okay, I think I got this.
But when they raised the age, I thought, like, in the eyes of the federal government, they want all that savings money out on the field in mm-hmm. play, which is why they make you take it out. But now they're saying you can wait longer to take it out.
You can wait longer to take it out, which is interesting. But there's also, you know, you think about it, the longer it's in there, the more it's going to be, the bigger balance it should be. So, you know, it depends. But let's talk about your RMD. So how do you figure out what your RMD is? Right now, what you do is you take your either your traditional IRA or your 401k, and you look at it as of December 31st of the year before. So for your 2022, you're looking at 12/31 of 2021, that balance. And then you divide it by a table, and it's the Uniform Lifetime Table that's put out by the IRS, and you know, they have a new one this year. So
shocking.
Just if you're using the old table, this year there's a new table that has been adjusted. So that's what you would use. You just do that division, and then when you get that number, that's the amount that you have to take out. Now, one caveat I will mention is people who have Roth IRAs do not need to take RMDs. Great, you know, you can keep the money in there. But there is a little trick in the law where those with Roth 401ks, so this is a Roth 401k, you must take the RMD. It will not be taxable, but you still have to take some money out of that account. So in some cases, this might be something you want to consider before you're 72. If you're still in that 401k and you have a Roth balance in there, you might want to think about rolling that over to a Roth IRA where you don't have to take the RMD if you want to keep the money in there. So, you know, it just has to add one more layer of complexity there.
Can I bring up a question sort of or a point from a listener? Mm-hmm. Let's see. There might be a reason to leave some of the money in the 401k if you're between 55 and 59 and a half. And you roll everything to an IRA, and let's say you're 58, if you need income, you will experience a 10% penalty coming from the IRA, whereas if you leave enough money in the 401k to draw from, you can draw from it and not pay or have the 10% penalty. So it has to do with age and what account you draw from is what he's saying, I think, or this person is.
That's right. And that's an important strategy. And that's where I said, you know, you want to make sure that you talk to a financial advisor about your unique position. Because if you are under 59 and a half, you might want to keep money, like he said, in the 401k where you can take money out without the 10% penalty. If you're over 59 and a half, that strategy doesn't, or that rule will not affect you. But that is, if you're under 59 and a half and you can take money out, or you need to take money out, another strategy like he sort of hints at is that maybe you move part of it. Maybe you keep some money in the 401k for your needs over the next couple of years until you're 59 and a half, and you can roll the balance over to an IRA. So that's why you always want to go in and check with a financial professional, because there's all these little nuances, just like the one we talked about with the Roth 401k having an RMD. These little rules in certain circumstances can have an impact on the most efficient strategy for your personal situation.
Mm. You know, it's amazing. It's all money that we earned and all money that we saved. Mm-hmm. But it's depending on what account it's in and how old you are and what the weather's like. There's penalties or not, or how much you can take or when you have to take it. That's why it's confusing to people. It's like, well, I saved it. Why can't I just go get it when I want it?
That would be so easy, Ron.
I know. You have the 401k.
What are you talking about?
And why is it a 401k? Why is it not just a 401? Is there a 401j?
I think it's named after like the section in the code, or you know, the tax code that it the rule is found in. That's usually what, like 457 and all those things. Yeah. It refers back to the tax.
I'd remember it better if it was associated with a color. So, you know, this is the artist in the room.
Right.
Yeah, but you're dealing with accountants here.
I'm dealing with accountants.
It's going to be precise.
I do every day. This is my life. All right. So we've covered the rules here and the withdrawals. And what is the, how do Roth IRAs benefit beneficiaries?
Well, what's really nice about a Roth IRA, if someone inherits a Roth IRA, it becomes a beneficiary Roth IRA, but they don't pay taxes on that money when they take it out either. So by paying the taxes today, you could benefit not only yourself, but your heirs or people who may the legacy that you leave to your beneficiaries. Mm. So it is something that's very thoughtful to leave to one of your beneficiaries because they don't have that tax burden on that kind of account.
Well, there you go. And once again, we remind people to check your beneficiary forms.
That's right. It's so important.
When people are nearing full retirement and say they have, you have two people, say spouses, let's say they both have 401ks, a Roth 401k, two IRAs, they have Social Security or whatever. They need a lot of strategy depending on their age, their income, and all that. At what point do they come to the financial advisor and say, we need our strategy. Are we going to hit Social Security first? Are we going to the Roth first? Are we going to combine? You know, how are we going to pull this money out? When do they start planning that? 6 months out, a year out? What do you suggest?
Well, Ron, those are all great things. I can tell you've been listening to a great retirement radio show because these are all wonderful questions. And I would say these are all questions you want to get answered before you're ready to retire. So, you know, 5 to 7 years out, you're in there talking to an advisor, taking a look at what your portfolio looks at, what kind of accounts do you have? Do you have a pension? You know, what's Social Security going to be? What's your budget? Do you have a mortgage? All these things. And that runs into something we do a lot at our office, a financial plan, which is sort of a roadmap of how you're going to be able to do the things you want to do in retirement. Do you have the assets to provide that lifestyle? So if you know that 7 years from retirement or even earlier, you have those goals, it gives you an idea of what you have to do in that time between that you can get to that goal that you want to have.
But the day that next week the paychecks stop coming in, so we're going to have something else coming in. So is that part of the financial plan? You know, we're going to have a combination of Social Security and her 401k providing our income at first, or, you know, some combinations therefore. Where that money comes from, if you have many options, that's part of 5 years out, you should know that? Or
yeah, 5 to 7 years out, I would go in, start building a relationship with a financial advisor so you can discuss these and discuss different options and make tweaks to your current saving pattern if you need them. And also, it's going to give you more confidence, and you can into the future, if you know what you can do, instead of just throwing a dart at the board and going, well, I hope we can take this big trip. Yes, I know we can take a trip every other year and, you know, stuff like that. And it just gives you that comfort and it gives you direction. But if you have already retired and you're struggling with some of these things, like you're saying, should I be taking it out of my 401k? Should I start Social Security? Definitely go in right away and start asking those questions and getting the answers, because the sooner you do that, the better result usually.
All right. So if you have a lot of options, you need a plan.
Yep. Where's my sounder? Honey. That's exactly right.
Too late now.
Too late, man. And then what are the RMD rules for those who inherit? That is a big one.
So there are several rules, and this goes back to that SECURE Act that we talked about that was passed in December of 2019, which changed a lot of those things. So if you inherit an IRA, there's basically two different things that you can do. Most people, and these are people who are not part of the special group that has special rules, and that would be a spouse, a child, someone who's disabled. Those have special rules. But just the general rule is once you inherit an IRA or Roth IRA, you have to take it out within 10 years. But there's a further level that we talked about a couple weeks ago that a clarification that the IRS made. It depends on when the person, the original account holder, dies. If they die before they turn 72, then that beneficiary has up to 10 years to take the money out. They don't have to take it out every year. They can wait and take it all out in the 10th year. But I'd say look at your tax burden before you do that.
Taxes.
Because if it was some of these IRAs can be hundreds of thousands of dollars, and taking that all in income in 1 year can really change your tax bracket.
Honey.
So say the account holder died after 72 when they're already taking RMDs, you will have, as a beneficiary, you will have an RMD every year, and then all of the money has to be out in 10 years. So you will have a required minimum distribution, but you can always take out more. That's the key, is it's a required minimum. You can always take out more, but you have to take out the minimum, and that's when there's an RMD rule. So it just gets more and more confusing, right?
So many individual cases here.
There is. So that is what I like about retirement planning. I'm not one for the numbers. Heidi and Dennis are, but the strategy is really fun. Believe it or not, Robbie.
Yeah, believe it or not. It's like, wait a minute, fun?
I think it's fun. It's the coach in me that thinks it's fun.
Hey, it's Friday night. Why don't you come on over and we'll do some financial planning together?
I mean, that's fine.
I've got some warm tap water we can get along, and some...
also known as tea.
Some burnt toast, and we'll do some financial planning.
Hey, my job is to make it fun. Right. My job is to make it fun. Before we get to Shea Stats, I thought I'd share a little story because we were joking about it this week. So this weekend is my birthday. I was born on tax day. Also my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. And Heidi was born on the 16th. And your daughter was born on the 15th.
That is correct. And the 15th is quite popular.
It is. And then our newest employee, his birthday is on the 17th.
April's so popular.
Yeah, it's a very busy month. So on April 14th, many years ago, my mom went into labor.
Mm-hmm.
They said to her, you're not going to have this baby for a while, so you need to stay somewhere nearby. So their friends live downtown, Traverse, near Munson. And they stayed at their house and decided to play card games and pass time with playing games, the Feelstras, Dave and Ann Feelstra. So they're playing card games, and a winter storm happens, and the furnace goes out. And my dad says, I'll go fix it, because he's a builder. And it was kind of touching music behind this. So my dad goes to fix the furnace, and the last thing he remembers is a ball of flames in his face. They rush him to the emergency room with my mother in labor. And he has second-degree burns.
Geez.
And it has all the baby pictures with me as a newborn. My dad has no mustache.
Oh, no eyebrows.
His eyebrows are gone. And he's got this pasty stuff on his face. So my mom is still in labor. Then they decide, my grandparents come from Cadillac, and they only can find one room at the Holiday Inn to stay the night in on the night of April 14th. Then on April 15th, my grandma's a pediatric nurse, by the way, April 15th, they go into the hospital, and it's time to have the baby. Shay is born, and my dad says, I never got our taxes done.
Oh, there we go. It all comes back to...
So he rushes home, he does the taxes, and as he's handing them in at the post office, the Record Eagle is there, and they're looking for a good story as to why someone's late on their taxes.
I'd say your dad is a pretty good story.
He's a great storyteller as well. And so anyways, the Record Eagle writes up the story of me being born on my mom's birthday and the drama that ensued. So
there you go.
I just have to laugh. It's like, what are the chances that I am born on tax day, work at 1040 Man. East Front Street?
1040 is the address?
Yeah. Jeez. And my initials are SEP. So
wow.
You would... The Lord has a good sense of humor, is what I would say.
Well, mine was pretty uneventful. I was just like over a week late, but that was it.
Which is kind of hilarious because you're always early on everything else, Heidi.
It's probably why.
So happy birthday, and happy birthday to my mom and Dalton and Abby and all the April babies out there.
All the April people.
They're so much fun. Here's some Shea stats. An estimated 57% of U.S. households will ultimately pay no federal income tax in the tax year of 2021 as pandemic-driven legislation eliminated the tax bill of many American families.
Hmm.
And that's from the Tax Policy Center. 11% of 2,067 American adults surveyed in February of 2022 voluntarily resigned within the previous 12 months from a full-time job they held. So that's from the Harris poll conducted by CareerArc.
How many people resigned?
11% of 2,067 surveyed.
That's pretty many, I think.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
1.13 million single-family homes began construction in 2021, the 10th year of increasing home starts since this measurement bottomed at 431,000 in 2011, and that's from the Census Bureau. Investors, not home buyers, are behind 33% of the purchases of single-family homes in the United States in today's market. That's up 5 percentage points from the 28% of buyers that investors represented over the past decade.
So I think that's one reason that rents are going up, or because investors come in and they buy all of them for Airbnb purposes, mm-hmm. or just because real estate's a good investment in some areas.
Right. And it makes it sad because, like, some people who are, you know, grow up here and they're ready to get their first home, they're competing against these people that
very
have much
difficult.
Larger pockets.
And not from here. And this is happening in major destination locations. It's not just Traverse City.
Yeah.
Lastly, 24% of 1,168 American retirees surveyed in June of 2021 indicated that they had to pay for major home repairs during retirement, and that's from the Society of Actuaries 2021 Retirement Risk Survey. 24%. So, you know, those home repairs, they never stop.
That's true.
To have your emergency fund in retirement, right, Heidi?
That is a good reason to have an emergency fund.
See?
All right, we're going to wrap it up this week. Heidi Cartwright and Shea Pataja from Prout Financial Design, proutfinancialdesign.com, for all the information you want, including how to make appointments, hear this show elsewhere, etc.
Call 947-3992 if you want to meet with Heidi or Dennis. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.